the air with bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. A federal official confirms that the possibility of bribery is now being checked out by the FBI in the Howard Calloway Ski Resort investigation. I'm Eric Engberg reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The FBI and the Agriculture Department, which operates the U.S. Forest Service, are both looking into charges that Calloway, in the days when he was Secretary of the Army, used his influence to obtain federal permission to use 2,000 acres of Colorado forest land to expand a ski resort he controlled. United States Attorney James Treese in Denver says the FBI has talked to his office about the possibility bribery may have figured in the case.
The purpose of this contact was to determine whether or not, if the fact that ought to be true, a federal crime had been committed. My assistant, one of the proposed facts, confirmed that this would constitute a federal crime. And presumably, with this information, then the special agent in the FBI undertook whatever investigation was indicated by the information that he had.
There is no investigation or indication from federal officials that Calloway was himself involved in any bribe attempt. Calloway stepped down temporarily as President Ford's campaign chairman after a Senate subcommittee announced plans to investigate the land deal. He maintains he was not involved in any wrongdoing, and President Ford has expressed confidence in his integrity, but has also promised a full investigation. The Soviet Union's ambassador to the United Nations and his wife have been injured in a two-car auto accident just outside New York City. Ambassador Yakub Malik apparently escaped serious injury, but has been admitted to a hospital in Glen Cove, Long Island, for treatment of cuts and possible rib fractures. Mrs. Malik was more seriously hurt and is in the hospital's intensive care section. The other car involved in the collision with Malik's chauffeured limousine carried three residents of Long Island, one of whom was killed. More CBS News after this.
Hello, I'm Dolly Parton. Have you ever watched a weaver at his trade? Shuttles weaving faster and faster on the loom, creating a design where none has been before. And come to think of it, life's pattern is woven in just the same way, born of many different threads, meeting, merging, spinning out the small fabric of our existence. The March of Dimes is trying to create a better fabric of life, free from the tragedy of birth defects, a life which ensures every newborn the right to the most precious heritage of all, good health at birth. Medical service programs, scientific research, public education, all are part of the March of Dimes fight against this number one health problem for our nation's children. But a weaver, any weaver, needs help along the way, and birth defects are forever unless you help. Help weave a tomorrow full of bright promise for our next generation. Please, give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
Lawyers for both sides hope that the last week of the long and turbulent Hearst trial is about to start. George McManus of radio station KCBS reports from San Francisco.
Patricia Hearst's private doctor says the young defendant has recovered sufficiently to return to court. So, after a two-day delay because of Miss Hearst having the flu and two more weekend days, the bank robbery trial of the 22-year-old newspaper heiress is about to resume. Defense Attorney Al Johnson was asked if he thinks the delay will affect the jury.
Ordinarily, it would. Jurors want to get it over with, too, and they've been sequestered, which is no easy task. But I don't think that this particular jury, at least if I read them correctly, is going to be greatly disturbed by the delay of several days.
The eighth week of the controversial trial begins with prosecution psychiatrist Dr. Harry Kozol of Boston returning to the witness stand. The jury is expected to start deliberating Thursday or Friday. George McManus for CBS News, San Francisco.
The leader of pro-Muslim troops in Lebanon has warned the country's president, Suleiman Frangieh, to resign or be forced from office. Frangieh answered that no one can force him to leave and continue to gather loyal troops about him at the presidential palace, which sits on a hill just outside Beirut. Fighting continues in the streets of the capital. Egypt has canceled the Treaty of Cooperation and Friendship it had with the Soviet Union, President Anwar Sadat claiming that the Soviets have failed to provide the military aid they had promised. France has decided to let the value of its franc float in world money markets for an unspecified period of time. The action is being interpreted as a setback for the government of French President Giscard d'Estaing. French socialists made strong showings in local elections Sunday, winning twice as many seats as any other party. In an effort to restore the health to its economy, Israel has ordered a series of economic measures which include devaluing the currency and jacking up the price of many consumer goods, including food. An official Chinese publication has conceded that the country is in the midst of a political struggle between factions on the governing Central Committee. In an editorial, the New China News Agency blamed Vice President Deng Xiaoping, accusing him of deviating from the policies of Chairman Mao and calling Deng a maker of splits. In Rome, masked youths hurled firebombs at the Spanish embassy to the Vatican, then fled to a park where a bystander was killed. Hours after the attack, authorities were unable to say exactly who the youths were. This is Eric Engberg, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for increasing cloudiness tomorrow with chance of rain tomorrow night or Tuesday. The highs mid-50s tomorrow, the upper 50s on Tuesday, and lows tonight in the upper 30s. It's 45 degrees currently in downtown Seattle. And taking a look at sports, the National Basketball Association, our Seattle Supersonics defeated New York 113-103. Elsewhere, Los Angeles 137, Buffalo 109, Portland over Detroit 114-103, Phoenix 108, Milwaukee 106, New Orleans beat Golden State 118-103, Kansas City 114, Atlanta 113 in overtime, and Washington dumped Boston 102-89. And in exhibition soccer in the North American Soccer League, Vancouver defeated the Seattle Sounders 4-0.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. It might occur to you that since I live so much in the world of the macabre, I could become jaded. Nothing could be further from the truth. For the deeper I delve into Satanism, the occult, the mystical history of the past, the more I realize how little I know. How much is yet to be revealed. An example, this tale. A quiet and unassuming one, but filled with such brooding and haunting terror that I'm sure you will share it with me.
I love you, but we have different faiths.
To hell with faith and church. I will still make you mine.
You never can. Never in this world.
Then in the next. If I cannot have you alive, no one shall. Dios, forgive me for what I do.
Oh, don't.
Too late.
But not you. The God of neither faith will ever forgive.
Our mystery drama, Never in This World, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Alexander Scorby. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Well, sir, I see you're one of the many people who bought a new Buick Century.
That's right. Boy, you want to talk about roomy and comfortable. Just take a look in there. Go ahead.
But you have curtains hanging in your car.
Yes, and wallpaper, too.
Well, why's that?
Well, we like the Century so much, we decided to sell a house and live in it.
Huh. Well, doesn't that get just a little crowded?
Oh, I suppose it might after a while, but we aren't home that much.
Oh.
Yeah, we got a little Skyhawk up north.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Here are some statistics for people who aren't taking their high blood pressure seriously. If your blood pressure is 150 over 100, subtract 16 years from your life, and chances are 3 times greater you'll have a stroke, 5 times greater you'll have a heart attack. But your future can be normal and healthy if you do treat your high blood pressure seriously. See a doctor. Get back on your treatment. And this time, stick with it. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The Bible tells of King Nebuchadnezzar who dreamed dreams that troubled his sleep. One day he commanded his magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers to recreate a particular dream and to interpret it. Daniel, gifted by God with the ability to interpret dreams, told the king his dream and its meaning. Upon hearing Daniel, the king exclaimed, "Of truth it is, that your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets." Dreams and visions are ways in which God can speak to man. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
According to legend, if a man walked with his shins about a church, he would walk right into the arms of the devil. The word withershins is of Gaelic derivation and means to walk contrary to the path of the sun or counterclockwise. This is the story of an American of Scottish background who, on an idle fancy, challenged the legend at the beginning of this century and stirred up old ghosts from 2 centuries before.
Steady on now.
All right, Mr. Blodgett. You and Martha handle the bags.
Yep. I'll take care of that, Miss Kimball.
Now take my arm, David, and step down carefully.
Oh, don't be foolish, Lucy. I can manage by myself.
After the siege you've been through, right at death's door?
I only had the influenza. That was months ago.
Followed by what amounted to a nervous breakdown. That's why we're up here again.
Dr. Chambers is an old fusspot. Oh, nervous breakdown. Just plain debilitation, dehydration. But no matter, no matter. I'm grateful to him just the same. Oh, smell that good New Hampshire air.
Never mind smelling it. Feel it. Chilly as always. You get right in the house.
In good time, in good time. First of all, a little walk. I think I'll stroll on down, see how Ephraim weathered last winter.
But that's nearly a mile's walk.
Oh, just a stroll. Now I'm back in the country. It's good to stretch my legs after being pent up these last years in the city.
You walk slowly, you hear? And be sure to be back here for dinner on time. You know I don't like to be kept waiting.
Yes, dear, I know. Married 24 years to a good woman. No doubt about Lucy being that. She reminds me of it often enough. A placid, uneventful life. Successful business. One child, the delight of my life. The rest of it, floating along in a rut, like an autumn leaf on the muddy waters in a wheel track. 50-ish, fattish, and feeblish after my first brush with death. Yes, I found I didn't have to be told to walk slowly. I had to. On my way to see my old friend, the Reverend Ephraim Bean.
I'm coming! Come in! And behold, I come quickly. Revelations chapter 22, verse 11, I believe. The right Reverend Ephraim Bean, at your service.
Don't tell me I've changed that much.
Bless my soul, my sight is getting to be a caution. Now, where are my spectacles?
Try your forehead.
Oh, yeah. David Campbell by Tophet.
Is it not?
It is indeed.
Well, come in, come in, come in, man. Oh, I see. You'll look in the pink. Sit you down, and I'll refresh you with a glass of cider. And you must tell me all.
Not much to tell. Long bout with influenza.
Tis a plague on the whole country this year. Here now. You'll have a glass.
It looks just the ticket.
Tell me about your illness. The influenza epidemic this year, the good Lord knows, has been widespread and virulent.
Virulent enough in my case. I'd like to have carried me off, but for some last moment's strength I gathered somewhere and so got my reprieve.
Oh, tell me, when was its onset?
The day after New Year's.
Good heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lasted all the way now into August?
Well, the germ itself was brought under control months ago and finally washed from my system. But a curious aftermath, a kind of disease, or if you want, unease of the mind afflicted me. The medical term of choice, I suppose, would be a nervous breakdown.
Well, my good friend, I'm glad you returned. We must shake these shadows from the corner of your soul. If they still persist.
Well, I put as good a face on it as I can, but yes, Ephraim, they do persist. But something even more than that. Something, some inner voice called me back here.
Eh? For what?
I don't know. Shall I tell you what haunts and tortures me? And why I was so glad that Lisbeth was not to come? Because I don't know whether it is for good or evil. I only know it must be.
Remember Isaiah. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil.
No, that's not what I said.
Not in so many words. But look deep in your heart, David, and ask yourself if somewhere, somehow, the thought is not there.
Walking back from the Reverend Bean's on that early August afternoon, I thought long and deeply, trying to find with his suggested key some door to unlock my long depression. But neither then nor on succeeding walks, longer and longer as I grew stronger, could I find an answer to the strange call which tugged at me, but gave me no intimation which way to follow and find the answer.
But where do you go on these long rambles of yours?
Oh, nowhere in particular. I just like to walk, to listen to the drowse of the bees and feel the wind in my face.
The wind. Oh, yes, first thing we know, you'll be back with the influenza again if you don't stop exposing yourself to the chill.
I doubt it. That's past.
You're still determined to go off on this jaunt today?
Well, yes. Now I feel strong enough. I've always wanted to go back up to the Devil's Glen. Oh, so many happy times there with Lisbeth when she was a child.
Well, you have your lunch all packed up that Martha made for you.
Yes, Lucy.
Now, don't dilly-dally till too late. Martha says her rheumatism is acting up, and that means a thunderstorm is on the way.
It was a glorious Sunday afternoon. And after lunching at the Devil's Glen and basking a while in happy old memories, I was tempted to walk just a little farther up a trail I'd never taken before. I followed the stream a little, and then the trail bent into the woods. All of a sudden, I broke from the trees into a clearing, in the center of which stood the ruins of an old church and a weed-covered graveyard beside it. After pottering around, reading some of the weathered headstones, this cursed whim struck me. I'd not been to church that morning, and on an impulse, as if obeying some order from beyond imagining, before heading for home, I was driven to circle the church twice with the shins. Perhaps recalling some ancient dare as a boy that I'd refused to take because of legend. No danger befell me, except that I was suddenly swept by a wave of exhaustion. With a sigh,
I sat on a little bench, stretching out my legs, and I found that my feet were resting on the edge of a flat tombstone. I could barely make out the legend. Jose Ribeiro. These bones lie here in an alien land. The life struck down by mine own hand. With heavy-lidded eyes, I tried to trace the date etched in Roman numerals, but a great crack across the stone obscured some of the characters. And besides, by that time, I found myself asleep.
Dear Jose, I cannot. Never.
You must. You love me.
I love you. But we are of different faith.
To the devil with faith and church. I will still make you mine.
You never can. Never in this world.
Then in the next. If I cannot have you alive, no one shall. Dios forgive me for what I do.
Oh, no. No, don't. Don't.
No, it's too late.
Not you. That God of neither faith will ever forgive. No, my...
I was literally galvanized awake by a bolt of lightning which must have hit the tree. It was dark, and the thunder continued to grumble menacingly, so with what wits were left to me, I fled the dream and the storm and ran pell-mell for home. Letting myself in, I could hear my wife hectoring poor Martha in the kitchen about something. Gratefully, I stole upstairs, leaving my dripping greatcoat in the hall. I shut my bedroom door behind me, locking it with some strange reflex. I found a match not too wet to strike and fumbled with cold fingers to light the lamp. I trimmed the wick and I put the chimney back. Then I turned up the lamp and checked my pocket watch. Still time for dinner. At least Lucy could not complain of that. Now, holding the lamp, I crossed to the mirror and...
Oh, God in heaven! Who was that? That dark, fierce, lean, and saturnine face of a stranger whose eyes burned into mine as he looked back at me from the mirror.
Who indeed? Dark? Lean? Certainly not the reflection of red-haired, melancholy, but gentle David Campbell. Who else, then? And why? And how can a childish superstition about rounding a church the wrong way really raise up the devil? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
If I could leave one thing with you when I'd leave this earth behind, I'd like to leave a bright blue sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children, I'd bequeath a life forever healthy, something nice to breathe. Yes, this is my legacy, this is my prayer. Most of all, I'd leave you all with a breath of your fresh air.
Air pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Hello there, this is Jim Backus. You know, I asked my friend, Mr. Magoo, have you ever heard of the disease of prosperity? You probably have, only you've heard of it as heart attack. It's called the disease of prosperity because the risk factors that increase the chances of heart attack are usually the result of prosperous living condition. Childhood habits. Some children get in the habit of watching TV instead of exercising. Smoking often begins in the teens or sometimes even earlier. And by the time they reach middle age, many of them are overweight, inactive, and have high levels of cholesterol and other fatty substances in the blood. High blood pressure is also common at that age. Any one of these conditions or risk factors increases the chance of heart attack. A combination of two or more multiplies that risk. One way you can protect your heart is to see your doctor. Another way is to support your Heart Association's efforts to find more of the answers to heart attack. So give to the Heart Fund now.
And thank you very much.
As fascinated as a moth might be, held by the lamp he holds in his hand, David Campbell is transfixed by the reflection in the mirror. The reflection of a man he has never seen before, who differs from him in every respect. Dark brown eyes for blue, a great beaked nose for his straight one, dark curling hair instead of the familiar soft straight reddish hair already receding from his brow. Other things, too, he is conscious of. That his clothes hang loosely on him, too short in the sleeve length, and the elastic bands on his trousers stretch to the breaking point to accommodate his extra height. But far more than the physical shock is the profound terror of finding himself someone other than himself.
David? David, are you in there? David, why have you locked this door?
Why indeed, Lucy? Only thank God I did. Time. Precious time to figure out what... What? What am I going to say? What can I say?
Really, David, this is too mortifying of you. You must be in there. Why don't you answer?
I'm not feeling myself right now.
Let me in. I want to help.
The only way you can help is... Oh, all right, I'll let you in if you do something for me first.
What?
Now, please, don't think I'm being unreasonable. It's terribly important. I'm pushing a key under the door. You see it?
Yes.
It's the key to the old roll-top desk in my study. I want you to open it on the left-hand side, the first row of pigeonholes. Pull them to you, and they'll slide out. There's a secret compartment there. Inside it is a letter. Get the letter and bring it back to me here.
But I don't... Please,
do as I ask. There's no other way.
No other way for what?
When you bring it back, you'll see. Or maybe by some miracle, all this won't be necessary. It took some more urging, but finally Lucy left on her errand. For myself, I returned, hoping against hope, to the mirror. No question. To outward view and sound, I was a different man. But that different man was only a prison which still held David Campbell. The inner man was still the same. But how to convince anyone else of that?
David. David, I'm back.
Yes, Lucy, did you find it? There's no stamp. Instead... two cupid hearts drawn by pen with an arrow piercing them together, right?
Yes, when I was young and foolish, I used to do that.
One heart has the letters LCM in it, the other DMC.
Of course, but David, this is absurd. We both
know... But nobody else knows about this letter.
I hope not.
It begins... David, I know you want to, but I'm tired of waiting for you to ask me. If we are to be in love, why shouldn't we be married? If you won't ask me, I'll ask you.
David, hush. Martha might hear. Really? These family secrets shouldn't be spoken out loud.
They have to be. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to...
Oh, David, I can't stand this nonsense anymore. Open this door immediately, or I'll have to send for a doctor.
Very well. Only wait. Just a moment before you come in.
Oh, do stop it. Open the door.
Come in, Lucy.
Oh, well, turn up the lamp, David. I can scarcely see.
That's quite deliberate on my part. Come in and close the door.
Oh, very well. Now, would you mind telling me what all this fiddle-faddle is about. Keys, secret drawers, old letters.
A matter of proof. I want to be sure you know who I am.
What's the matter with your voice? Have you caught cold in the rain?
I might say I've caught a devil by the tail. Or perhaps the other way around.
I think I'd better get the doctor.
I think you'd better wait first.
For what?
For what I'm about to show you. When I turn up the lamp, just remember that I am David as I turn up the lamp and let you see.
No, Dave. Who? Oh, no, David, what? What can I say?
I don't know. Whatever you feel would be best. Talk to me as honestly as you can.
Well, really, how can I?
Why not?
Because I...
Because now that you face the actuality, you're not sure, are you? You're not sure it's me.
Well, how can you blame me? I mean...
Hold, don't leave this room. Stay where you are.
Don't you dare make a move toward me or I'll scream the house down. We're not alone, you know. Your brother George and his friends are all downstairs. And Mr. Blodgett, the gamekeeper, with his gun...
It's all right, Lucy. I don't blame you for being scared and very brave at the same time. But the lies are not necessary.
They're not lies. The house is full of...
Besides us, there is only poor old Martha. My brother George has been dead for 5 years. Blodgett runs the general goods store and lives well over half a mile from us. And I am no stranger, no matter how I look. I'm your husband of 24 years. 25 come this November 23rd. No matter how I look.
Oh, what are we going to do?
Now, darling, don't worry too much about me. Some way we'll find a way to straighten things out.
I'm not worried about you. Somehow you brought this on yourself. I mean... What are we going to do, Lisbeth and I? What on earth can we say to people? How can we live this down?
I think there are more serious problems here to be considered first.
I'm not capable of solving them. You need a doctor or a... Or perhaps a minister. I'm going to make up a spare room where you can sleep tonight, whoever or whatever you are. Then I'll bring your dinner up to you. And tomorrow, first thing tomorrow... I'm going to the Reverend Bean and tell him everything. Maybe he can make heads or tails of it. I can't.
Lucy spoke about you suffering some sort of change that... Bless my soul. Yes, indeed.
You do find me changed,
oh,
then?
Oh, without a doubt. I'm rather sorry. I thought to bring my spectacles for once.
Do you recognize me by any chance?
Not while I wear these. I think I shall remove them. And the shock will be less profound, David.
Then you do believe I am David?
I am a man of faith.
But my looks, my voice...
A shock, I admit, when seen all too clearly. Yes, David, I accept you for who you are.
But how can you?
Because you asked me to. Tell me, how have you suffered this change?
I could feel the sting of tears behind my stranger's eyes at the simple kindness of this good man's faith and his friendly trust. I told him what little I could of my walk that day, of my discovering the ruined church, of my sudden weariness, my sitting by the grave of the man named Jose Ribeiro, my falling asleep, and the waking to the lightning striking the tree. And all the while I told him, the hope in my heart was sinking slowly as I watched the expression on that open face, too ingenuous to hide any emotion or thought.
Jose Ribeiro?
Yes.
Never heard of him or any such family here.
You don't believe me after all.
Did I say that?
You didn't have to.
I believe the transformation. I believe that no matter how you look or sound, you are my dear friend, David Campbell.
No. Other things are something else again.
What other things?
I've lived here all my life in Tamworth, man and boy. I know this country like the back of my hand.
I've no doubt no one knows it better, Ephraim. But just what are you getting at?
The church, ruined or otherwise, the clearing in the forest, the graveyard. A man named Jose Ribeiro. I tell you this solemnly, since I know every tree and trace of all that area. David, my old friend, there simply is no such place.
Nor would any protestation of mine sway him from that stand. And I must admit, he had shaken me. There was no recourse. I must return there and see for myself. Easier decided than accomplished. These days, Lucy watched me like a hawk. And of course, I dared not show myself in front of Martha, to whom I would be an unexplained stranger in the house. But finally, a day came.
David, I...
What's the matter, Lucy?
Nothing. It's just so difficult to call you by name when... Looking at you, I cannot recognize the man I married. And yet...
What?
Come to the light a moment. Yes. I do believe... I think perhaps you're starting to change back.
Oh, don't hope too much.
I suppose it's just an illusion that I'm growing used to. No. I will never get used to it. Now, I have to go marketing. Don't leave the room. Martha is in the house.
Just don't lock me in. I can't stand that. Give me the key.
Promise you won't do anything foolish.
That I can promise with all my heart. As soon as I saw Silas Blodgett drive Lucy off, I stole down the stairs, past Martha, busy in the kitchen, and fled down the street. By the time I reached the Devil's Glen, it was late afternoon. A hazy day with the sun trying to burn through a low cloud cover. I hastened up the path I remembered, holding my breath. And suddenly, there I was, back in the familiar clearing. The ruined church, the graveyard, the shade tree part blackened by the lightning bolt that had hit it, the tortured, broken tombstone twisted with the huge crack beside the seat I had sat in. Only one thing was different as I approached. On the seat, still as death, leaning on a stick as though waiting, was the figure of a woman whose pose suggested incredible age, but at one and the same moment, a timeless beauty. Her head was shrouded in a veil, so this was only an impression as I approached her. Am I intruding?
Of course not.
I hope you will forgive me, but I've been ill and I would like to sit down. May I join you?
Need you ask? Sit, my darling, by me. It is so long that I've waited for you, but I knew that somehow, at the last, you would come back.
Fantasy or reality? An actual meeting in an actual place? Or some strange fixation of the mind? And if so, on whose part? David? Or the woman who turns, casting the veil aside, a face that is at once as lovely as it is ancient? A woman who, with eyes half shut, might appear to the beholder, as she does to David, the loveliest and most desirable thing in the world. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
Here we are talking with one of the thousands and thousands of people who bought a Buick this year. This is a Skylark, right?
That's right. Pretty, huh?
Indeed it is.
You want to sit in it? I'll let you for a buck and a quarter.
Do you charge to let people sit in your Skylark?
Oh, this is a very nice car. Look, I figure when word gets out, people will be lined up for blocks. Hey, you want to honk the horn? Give me a dime.
Listen, sir, Buick dealers let people do this for free.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're missing a good bet.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Son, you're a credit to your father.
Oh, you never said that about him before. What did he do now?
Not him. The Internal Revenue Service. The new tax reduction law now lets us take a $30 credit off our federal income tax for each person we can claim as a dependent.
Oh, I thought we got a $750 exemption.
We still do. But for every such personal exemption for you, me, and the kids, we can deduct $30 right off the tax we owe, up to the amount of the tax, but no more.
My dad's over 65. He gets a double exemption. Does he get a double credit?
Sorry, only one credit per person.
Did this ever happen to you? You see or hear an ad like this. Dining room set, only $99. But when you get to the store, they tell you, we already sold it. Or instead, they show you a set that's in really bad shape. And then they try to sell you another set for $299. This is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus, and this practice is known as bait and switch. Something is advertised for a very low price, that's the bait, and they don't intend to sell it. And then the salesman tries to sell you something more expensive, and that's the switch. Bait and switch is illegal. Don't fall for it. Here's how to protect yourself. Be suspicious of any attempt by the salesman to sell you something you're not really interested in. If the salesman refuses to show you the advertised item, take your business elsewhere. And if you have any doubts at all about making a purchase, don't sign anything until you've checked out the offer completely.
The sun suddenly drops behind the horizon. And in the half-light of twilight, the age is washed away from the woman's face. Her gray eyes, fastened on David, are wide and shining with love. But to him, lovely as it is a stranger's face. Search his memory as he will, he cannot remember ever having seen it before, although the voice stirs some vagrant chord of memory.
You know me?
How can you ask such a question, Jose?
My name is not Jose.
Not yet, perhaps, but it will be.
You think I look like someone you once knew?
I know you do, but looks are unimportant. I know you are.
You called me Jose, the man you think I am. Do you mean Jose Ribeiro?
I mean Jose Ribeiro.
The man who's buried in this grave? Who says he took his life with his own hand?
Who took his life with his own hand, but who is no longer in that grave.
Where is he then?
Sitting beside me on this bench.
Me?
The living image.
But only an image. Not the man, the being himself.
Not yet. It takes time.
No, you don't understand. I'm not the way I look. I'm someone else. My name is David Campbell. I don't look this way at all.
If you don't want to look yourself, that can happen too. In time. Ah, it all takes time. But the moon is not yet at the full, and I cannot stay any longer.
No, wait. There are so many questions I need to ask you.
You mean David Campbell is the one who wants to ask the question?
Of course, that's who I am. This other, this Jose Ribeiro, I can't read the date on his tombstone, but he must have died a long time ago.
Long. And not so long. 200 years, to be exact.
And he looked like me? Me as I am now?
You could be one and the same.
How can you be so sure?
Because we loved. Because I should have been his wife.
What? But that means that you... You have to be...
I must go now. It's almost dark. I can tell you more, if you wish. As much as you can comprehend. Come to tea Thursday, but not before twilight. Past the church, take the path to the left, down to the waterfall. It's the second house, white clapboard. You can't miss it. It's almost
underneath the waterfall itself.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't even know your name.
I'll teach you to remember all. Prudence. Remember. Prudence. Penny Packer.
Suddenly conscious that the night was pitch black. Flecks of light floated behind my eyes as they might when closing the lids after watching a shooting star. A sudden idea crossed my mind, but in the dark, it wasn't feasible. Besides, I would be in enough bad odor with Lucy being late to dinner as it was. It could wait till Thursday. I was convinced I knew the answer anyway to that one question. The others I could hardly wait to pose. I thought I had enough problems on my hands. I didn't reckon on the others that were about to rise.
I just can't stand it any longer, David. If you are, David, going on with this charade, so I've made all the arrangements.
Now, wait a minute. What charade? What do you mean?
I can't make up any more lies or half-truths or excuses about you. Martha can't understand why, if you're ill, she can't bring a tray up to you. Cy Blodgett and the others in the village can't imagine, if you don't need a doctor, why you stay cooped up. Oh, I could go on and on, but I don't intend to. I've spent the day packing us up. We're going back to Boston to take you to Dr. Chambers or whoever he recommends and get you the treatment you need.
I'm not leaving here before the end of the week. You go to Boston and get a good look at the world you think is turned right side up. Then come back. I have a feeling that within the week I'll know where the future lies. Or if there is any at all for me. Oh, really, Reverend Bean? You didn't have to have me over for meals all the time like this. The idea was for your housekeeper to drop them off at my place.
Well, she did. A couple of times. But it's easier this way and provides me companionship. Besides, I had to see you today in order to write a shocking piece of information I gave you.
Oh, about what?
Your ruined church and graveyard.
Huh?
I've been searching through our church records. Unfortunately, very scanty and full of gaps. But I find I was wrong. There was indeed a church, and I have no doubt a graveyard, on or about just such a site as you mentioned. How I could ever have missed its ruins myself,
well, probably so overgrown you could never find them.
Well, then how could you?
Because I was intended to find them.
Jesus. Why you?
If for no better reason than I walked about the church with the shins.
With the shins? With
the shins?
Yes. Ancient Gaelic term.
Uh-huh.
Who with a devil his first compactor begins, he first must traverse the churcher with the shins. Eh? Anonymous. Do you believe in the devil, David?
Do we believe in God? If there is one, there has to be the other. I believe I've made an unwitting pact with the second.
Now, even granting that, you can still be saved. If you were indeed a kind of reincarnation of Senor Ribeiro, if I remember his name correctly.
You do.
Then more and more you are throwing off his influence and returning to yourself. Oh, David, I declare, the sun makes your hair seem full red again. And you're getting back your own nice, comfortable, roundy look.
So there's still hope for me?
Always has been.
You say there was such a church, though, as I have described.
Oh, dear me, yes. Built and established in 1695 by one Hiram Pennypacker.
Pennypacker?
That's a curious old name. Very common about these parts once. Still, for that matter. Oh, now, you'll join me for dinner.
No, Ephraim, good old friend. I think I will make out for myself this evening.
Will I see you later?
I'm not sure. I may decide to take a long, long sleep tonight. Lucy's due back in the morning.
Ah, then I'll be trotting along. I have a feeling of something undone. Have I forgotten anything?
You've forgotten nothing. Not even me, who little deserved to be remembered. Goodbye, old friend. This was the Thursday, and for my own reasons, I must be early. As soon as Ephraim was gone, I headed for the Devil's Glen and beyond. I went first straight to the graveyard in the glare of the sinking afternoon sun. It took me some time to find it. A simple headstone with a simple legend. Prudence Pennypacker, 1765-1789. But she is in her grave, and oh, the difference to me. That quotation from Wordsworth shocked me beyond belief, for the subject of his lament over a lost love was for a girl named not Prudence, but Lucy. From the grave, with a sense of urgency, I found my way down the path to the house beneath the waterfall and to the girl who had been buried 200 years ago, and to the end of it all, I hoped, at last.
You're late. Things have come up. There won't be time for tea.
Not too late for some explanations.
That depends on what you consider an explanation.
Who was or is Prudence Pennypacker and Jose Ribeiro? What were they to each other? And where do we fit in?
Well, that's asking quite a lot.
No, not in my mind. As far as I can discover, both you and Jose have been buried for 200 years. I'm still alive, even if I'm locked like a hermit crab in another man's shell. Where do I go from here? Or you? Or us? Or all of us?
I can answer some questions. Jose was a very romantic Portuguese who fled a dictator king who was slaughtering the nobility. With his knowledge of languages and education, he became my father's secretary.
Your father was the minister of the ruined church up the hill?
Yes. Jose fell in love with me and we wanted to be married, but we were of different faiths.
The dream!
What?
The dream I first dreamt. Sitting on the bench by your lover's grave, before the tree, and for all I know, I was struck by lightning. Did he really murder you and kill himself?
If I could not have him, I wanted to die for him, just as he wanted to die for me. Because of my father and my faith, I was buried in consecrated ground. But because he took his own life and was an apostate, Jose was buried in unhallowed ground. He was forced to wander forever. Until he could find some other body not owned by the devil. I chose to share his exile, waiting for the moment when he could.
And when I risked an old superstition and went about the church the wrong way, he entered into my life, my body?
He took your body, not your soul. That is still yours to command. But is it so much to hold on to? Would you not rather come with me at last and forever to love and be loved no matter who you are or what your name is?
I want to, and yet I don't. I'm afraid. Maybe I can still find my way back to what I was.
Well, go ahead. Try. Perhaps you can, if that's really what you want. But just remember, you can have it for only a brief moment. With me, it could be all eternity.
David! Oh, God, I've been so worried. Where have you been?
to the edge of beyond.
What does that mean?
It doesn't matter. What brought you home so soon?
Lisbeth, she was so worried about you. And I'm so glad now I came.
Are you?
Yes. You look wonderful. Your old self again, aren't you?
Oh? Yes, Lucy.
We must start building you up with right food and rest, right?
Yes, Lucy.
It's a positive miracle. You look exactly like yourself again. It's all over, isn't it, whatever it was? You're David Campbell again.
Yes, Lucy.
Just the way you always were.
Yes, Lucy. Oh, I could look in the mirror. And there I was. Day by day, my looks had returned to exactly what I had been to begin with. But I had neither the heart to tell Lucy, or perhaps even face myself, was that as my physical form remade itself outside, so inside, my soul, my character, my personality, name it what you want, was bewitched out of itself. The passion, the anger and violent emotion that ran within me was almost more than I could restrain. And I knew it would never be satisfied till I had and owned Prudence. I would destroy everything for that. Lucy, Lisbeth, even myself. I was possessed. Damned forever.
When David Campbell suddenly disappeared, it was the Reverend Ephraim Bean who led the search. A deep instinct told the old man David had returned to the graveyard and the ruined church, but was never found. What was found was David's body, floating in a pool underneath a small waterfall not far above the Devil's Glen. The body lies buried now in one of Boston's most exclusive cemeteries. The body, where the soul has gone, is another question entirely. I'll be back shortly.
Okay, I made a mistake. My first mistake. But they say guys like me coming out of jail usually wind up coming right back.
I like sitting in the park, but not every day. I want to do something useful. People around here, though, I think you're over 65. You're useless.
The man crossed and... Shoot. Who are you kidding, girl? You're nowhere unless you can read.
Tough problems call for real solutions, not just talk. If your community has a problem, you need action. Action is skilled volunteers of all ages working together to help solve tough community problems. Write Action, Department Q, Washington, D.C., 20525. Between us, there's got to be a solution.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Let us end this tale, as the Reverend Ephraim Beam might, with a quotation from Shakespeare out of a play named The Tempest. Our revels now are ended. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. Our cast included Alexander Scourby, Laurie March, Ian Martin, and Marion Seldes. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I'm the one who's making the first move because I think Sasna is just a little bit ahead of Pine Tree. So I just happen to be a little more frightened.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the project that frightens both of us. Now, why? You can trust me.
How do I know that?
I'm trusting you. It's something terrifying, as if the whole world is about to be destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same thing.
Something that has nothing to do with my country, or your country, or any country. So I said to myself, why waste time fighting each other when we're faced with something that can destroy us both?
Something that threatens to destroy us all. Now I know it. That's what I feel. That's what's being communicated to me. But what is it? Why?
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
And beautiful music. 91 KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Egypt is repealing its long-standing friendship treaty with the Soviet Union. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Anwar Sadat made a surprise statement at the end of a major policy speech in which he accused the Soviets of playing a cat-and-mouse game with me. Sadat also said Soviet leaders have based their policy on their own interests as a superpower. He observed that the United States holds virtually all the cards in Middle East peace efforts. More on that story from CBS News correspondent John Sheehan in Cairo.
Sadat canceled Egypt's Treaty of Friendship and Cooperation with the Soviet Union. The cancellation is still to be approved by the country's one-party parliament, but approval is a foregone conclusion. The assembly was applauding and shouting agreement as Sadat submitted the document and urged the parliament to act on it. Before announcing cancellation of the treaty with the Soviet Union, Sadat declared that all the Russian weapons Egypt has received will be scrap metal within a year and a half because the Soviets refused to send any spare parts. John Sheehan, CBS News, Cairo.
France has decided once again to let the franc float freely on the world's money markets. French Finance Minister Jean-Pierre Foucault announced early Monday that the decision was reached in a Sunday night Brussels meeting with the finance ministers and governors of central banks from France, West Germany, Denmark, Belgium, Holland, and Luxembourg. It marks the second time in 2 years that France has withdrawn the franc from Europe's joint monetary float system, which limits fluctuations of member nations' currencies to 2.25%. More CBS News in a moment.
Hello, this is Leonard Nimoy. 5,000 years ago, a wise Egyptian named Imhotep was the first to recognize the connection between the pulse and the beat of the heart. 300 years ago, a learned English physician, William Harvey, discovered that the blood circulates in the human body in a closed system. Today, doctors substitute artificial valves for diseased ones. Tomorrow, artificial hearts, the prevention of stroke, and heart attack. Impossible? It can happen because of you. Your generous support of your Heart Association in the past has made possible the kind of research that has resulted in many of the miracles we almost take for granted today. Your further contributions to the Heart Fund will help reduce the tragic toll of death and disability caused by our nation's number one killer. So keep giving and give generously. Remember, heart disease and blood vessel disease can be conquered, but only you can make it happen. Thank you.
Oil industry officials are looking for gasoline prices to continue dropping for a while after moving lower in the first 2 weeks of March. Petroleum industry officials point to the federal energy bill, which took effect on the 1st of February, as causing 12 major and independent companies to lower prices for gasoline, home heating oil, and other petroleum products. Herbert Hugo, editor of the widely read industry newsletter Platts Oilgram, says the basic supply problem remains.
It is good news for a consumer viewpoint from a short-term point of view, but in terms of protecting our national self-sufficiency, I still think that was a lousy bill approved by President Ford last December, and I agree with the oil industry that we're trading nickels for dollars in terms of our national goals. I think we should concentrate much more on developing our national resources instead of increasing our reliance on those Arabs who might turn on us any moment.
Hugo notes that the trend toward lower petroleum prices cannot be expected to be a long-term movement. Rather, he says, it's only a temporary thing. The number of Americans in federal prisons continues to climb, with more than 26,000 people now behind bars or in halfway houses. Federal Bureau of Prisons Director Norman Carlson told CBS News about the cause for the higher prison population.
There's been an increase in the crime rate throughout the country. There are more commitments that are coming into our custody from federal courts all across the country. So I think the crime rate and the fact that more cases are now reaching the courts has accounted for the fact that it's been a tremendous increase in the last several months.
Carlson says virtually every federal prison in the country is overcrowded. While he considers that a significant problem, he says it has not reached a crisis proportion yet. The FBI now is looking into the possibility that a bribe might have been paid in getting the U.S. Forest Service to reverse itself and okay expansion on federal forest preserve land of a Colorado ski resort in which former Secretary of the Army Howard Beau Calloway is a major investor. There is no indication thus far that Calloway was involved in that bribe. Calloway stepped aside as President Ford's campaign director after allegations were heard that he had used his Pentagon office to pressure the Forest Service into allowing the ski resort expansion. The Agriculture Department is investigating, as will a Senate subcommittee. U.N. Ambassador Jakub Malik of the Soviet Union has been hospitalized in Glen Cove, New York, with possible broken ribs as the result of an automobile accident that claimed one life. Four other people also were hospitalized, including Malik's wife, Valentina, who's in the intensive care unit at the hospital. She suffered multiple abrasions and possible internal injuries. A spokesman at the hospital said Malik suffered contusions, lacerations, and possible fractured ribs. He's listed in satisfactory condition and is undergoing tests to determine if there are any internal injuries. One of the occupants of another car, a New York resident, died in the crash. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06. It's bright and beautiful music from Kixie, KIXI.